But I just want to sketch out for us a little bit of what we're hoping to accomplish over these joint adult Sunday school classes in the month of June. Today is in one sense, hopefully a word of encouragement and motivation as we kind of once again just even reflect on and rejoice in what God has done here at Westminster over this last decade. It's a great story. And some folks have been here for many, many decades and they know something of this last day. Some folks have only been here even within the last year and say, whoa, I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that. So some of this I've shared in the past, but I want to kind of review what the Lord has done, what's been a very encouraging season, seeing us through many different kinds of challenges and bringing us to this point where we are now in a position to do some very significant things in the life of our church. So today, I'm just going to kind of bring us up to that place. We're, you know, we've only got about 15, maybe 20 minutes max. So just a quick kind of way of review about where we've been to get us to this point. Next week, okay, for those of you guys who are Excel spreadsheet types, data hounds, that's what we're going to do next week. Next week, we're going to look at the various projects that we have lined up. We're going to look at timetables. We're going to look at costs. We're going to look at where we stand, how much is in this account, how much is in this account, what is the project. So to try to answer with full transparency any questions you might have about these projects, about where we're at, about the timing, about how we're going to pay for it. So next week, there'll be a lot of details. So this is kind of a flyover. This week is kind of a flyover, an encouraging flyover of the last decade to get us to this point. Next week will be kind of a data dive as we look at all the opportunities and challenges that are before us. The next week, we're going to talk about one particular project in real detail, explaining what that project is, what we're going to do, why we're going to do it. And then the final week in June will just be Q&A for any questions related to life of the church. Okay? Is that clear? Helpful? Helpful or not, it is what it is, right? So what I want to do this morning is just remind us a little bit about some of the seasons that we've gone through as a church over the last 10 to 15 years. Okay? And so to begin with, as we think about, kind of 10 to 15 years, kind of speaking broadly, this church went through a hard season, right? A hard season where we struggled with some decline, a season where we struggled with some sense of our future as a church, right? Some of you may know, some of you may not know, that we went through a period, right? 12 years ago or so, in which we were actually debating as a church whether we should stay open. It's kind of striking, right? That it wasn't that there were no people here, but people were looking at some of our demographic trends, that we were an elderly congregation, that we weren't growing, and there was some concern. Hey, maybe we should just kind of not wait for the bottom to drop out. Maybe we should close as a church, sell our valuable property, give it to PCA work, encourage our members to join another church. That wasn't happening like 60 years ago. It was happening like 12 or 13 years ago, right? That's a pretty hard season, right? Went through a challenging leadership transition in the midst of that. So not long ago, this church was kind of going through a rough time. But here's something to keep in mind, is that during that hard season, there were all kinds of residual benefits that this church was experiencing, even in that hard season, because of what members of this church had done in previous seasons in times of abundance. and in times of plenty. So one of the things that the church didn't have to deal with in this hard season was debt on a building, right? So in the midst of all those struggles, right, we were free and clear on debt. Why were we free and clear on debt even though we were in a hard season? Because previous generations in times of gospel blessing had paid for this whole building, paid off debts, paid for the land, right? So there was sacrifice in times of prosperity that really sustained this church as we went through seasons that were hard. And I don't know, right? But maybe if that we hadn't had those previous seasons of blessing, the conversations in our hard season might have been very different. If we had been wrestling with whether our church had a future, and we were carrying a mortgage, and we were worried about how we were going to pay off all these bills, that might have been a different conversation, right? So we, even in our hard season, we were the recipients of previous generations who had blessed this church with their generosity and their sacrifice and set us up in a place where we were able to weather a hard season. Okay, so I just keep that in mind. Then we went through a season of what I'll call a happy growth season. You know, beginning about 10 years ago, right? The Lord really started to bless this church with a new season of growth, right? New people started to come. We had to develop a new members class, right? Now Discovering Westminster, right? We began to receive new members in ways that was very encouraging, right? Very encouraging. People would come up to me and say, I was so worried this church was going to die. And now it's not going to die, right? There's new people coming. This is exciting. We're receiving groups of new members. And it was just a kind of extended season of blessing. We were still kind of a smaller church. Our structure didn't have to change very much, right? Internal structure. We still just had our one service. It just had more people in it, right? And so that was a great time. I feel like as a new pastor here, I had kind of a extended multi-year honeymoon where there was a lot of happiness, right? There was a lot of joy. There was a lot of celebration because, hey, the Lord is doing a work here. And what's amazing is we didn't engage in a lot of new programming. We just kind of recommitted ourselves as a church to our core principles, right? We didn't say, hey, let's reinvent ourselves. Well, we said, let's recommit ourselves to the things that we've always been about, that we value. Let's recommit ourselves to the preaching of the word and prayer and the administration of the sacraments. Let's just double down on who we have been historically, which is an ordinary means of grace church with beautiful traditional worship that is joyful and reverent, right? So what was interesting is that the Lord just blessed that, right? Sometimes he doesn't do that. Recommitting yourself to good things doesn't always translate into numeric growth. But in this particular season of our church's life, it did, right? How many of you have come to this church in the last 10 years? Yeah, so that's pretty exciting. That's pretty exciting, right? So it's great to have folks who've been here for decades, and it's exciting to see this kind of influx of new folks. This happy growth season led us into what I would call a hard growth season. Well, we continued to grow, but now we were experiencing kind of growing pains, right? So if this was kind of 10 to 8 years ago or 10 to 7 years ago, then we kind of went through a period of, you know, 7 to 4 years ago maybe, where we were really going through some difficult growing pains, trying to figure out, well, now we're actually growing to the point where we're becoming a little bit of a different church. We're growing to the point where some of our physical realities are starting to be stretched in ways that make us a little bit uncomfortable. We were a one-service church, and we were getting to the point where the deacons would count how many parking spaces are available. And week after week, they would come in and put a piece of paper that would say, zero. Right? And you think, okay, that's a problem. What are we supposed to do about that? I don't know. That's a challenge, right? And in this hard growth season, we went through lots of different, well, maybe we could do this. Maybe we could do this, right? Some of you will know, we talked about maybe moving to two services. We went kind of on this elaborate, we worked with different contractors and guys who pitched ideas about building a new sanctuary. And then we got a price tag, and we were like, that's crazy. Or we could build a new education wing, and then we could do this. Wow, that seems really expensive, and we kind of worked through a lot of these challenges. I have this lovely picture in my closet. It's a big architectural rendering of our sanctuary with a big wraparound balcony on all sides. Super cool looking. It was also super expensive, right? And so we didn't end up doing that. Some of you may know that we even engaged in some significant conversations with a much larger church here in the Buckhead area, in the Buckhead area, that has this beautiful sanctuary. It looks a lot like Westminster Sanctuary, but they had declined to the point that they weren't even using their sanctuary, right? They were like having their worship services in the fellowship hall, their fellowship hall. And so we actually got kind of put in contact with them about like, maybe we could even have our Sunday worship services in their sanctuary, right? So, I mean, we were working on multiple issues, kind of, what about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? No, not about that. Lot of session meetings that went till like 11 o'clock at night, debating different options, right? All the while, the Lord was continuing to bring us people, but it was challenging. Right? It was challenging, and it wasn't clear what is the way we should go. And there were some folks who just kind of objected to any change, right? I remember, some of you have heard me tell the story. I went to visit one of our dear seniors in the hospital, and she said to me, so much is going on at the church. What's going to happen? And I said, well, we're growing. I know, it's great. And I said, we could end up going to two services. She said, oh, I don't like that. And I said, we could try to raise a bunch of money and build a bigger sanctuary. She said, oh, I don't like that. I said, we are kind of considering the possibility of worshiping in another sanctuary of another church. She was like, I really don't like that. And I said, or we could put a big sign out front that says, it's a shame you didn't come here 5 years ago, but there's no room now, so keep driving. I actually said that to her. And she went, wait, we can't do that. I was like, no, we can't. So what are we going to do? She's like, wow. I said, would you pray that we would come to a clear sense of what we should do as a church, right? And so at the end of this season, we came to a couple key conclusions as a session, right? I don't know what the Westminster session is going to think in 100 years. But I can tell you some of the convictions that we had as a session as the fruit of this hard growth season. Number one is that we were committed to being here. This was our home. Like that God had put us in a strategic place that's only becoming more strategic. I mean, how many of you have driven through Executive Park like in the last couple months, right? I mean, it's remarkable what's going on. I mean, we are right in the heart of this great global medical epicenter, and here we are. I'm pretty sure Emory is like, I wish we had that land, but they can't have it. Ha, 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 right? But here we are. So that's one of our commitments. Like, we are done. We're not having conversations about going anywhere else, selling this property, moving, right? And there was actually a property that was available kind of up 85, and we could have sold this land, bought a much bigger church with more property and a school, a K-12 school on it, and had $5 million in the bank, We're like, well, that's an interesting idea. The only problem is we're not a centrally located university church in the heart of Atlanta anymore. We're just a northeast Gwinnett church up I-85. And so we just said, no, principally, we're here, right? The other thing we said is we're going to continue to be a fiscally conservative church. So we're not going to build, we're not going to engage in campus transformation in which we build a new sanctuary at the cost of $10, $12 million and take out a significant mortgage in order to pay that off over many years, right? We're going to continue by God's grace to invest in this property. We'll make modest improvements, but we're not going to engage in campus transformation. We're going to engage in campus improvement, right? And as part of that, we said, we're going to be a multi-service church, and we committed to actually planting a church. So at the end of this season, those were some big decisions based on all the things we had kind of been wrestling with and wrestling through, right? We're going to be here. We're going to be in this space. We're going to engage in faithful stewardship of this space where we try to take the best care of it that we can, that we look for ways to engage in modest improvement, but in ways that where we live within our means and we're not going way out on a financial limb that would obligate us for a future generation. Okay? And we're going to go to multiple services and we're going to plant a church. So we came to all those conclusions, and then we came to a season unlike any other, right? Why was it a season unlike any other? Because right as we were coming to this place, there was this thing, right? This global pandemic that like hit the world and shut things down. And so we went through this season of scrambling, trying to figure out what are we going to do next, right? Are we going to have services? Are we going to have Sunday school? Are we gonna, you know? And there was just an extended period there, a multi-year period, where it was just kind of trying to scramble, trying to keep your head above water, trying to get your bearings, trying to survive and weather this big storm, right? I went through an extended period of time where the only time I saw a lot of even our elders, right, was on Zoom. Right? We were having Zoom meetings. I went through a time where it was during that time that Carlton actually was called to join the pastoral staff. And he was here like a year and he probably hadn't even seen more than half of the church. Right? So it was a very, very challenging season. Very challenging. But in that season, unlike any other, God really kept us together. He kept us unified, even though we had lots of disagreements over how to deal with the pandemic, how to deal with this or that issue. He kept us united. He kept us together. We actually planted Tucker Prez in the midst of that, right? And Tucker grew and flourished, continues to grow and flourish. Unbeknownst to us, planting a church in the middle of a pandemic actually gave Tucker a strategic advantage because they were like the only church in the whole region that was meeting. Right? So a lot of people came and checked them out because they're like, well, our church isn't meeting, your church is, right? So it actually became like, it was not how to plant a church. Pray for a global pandemic and then take advantage of it. But the Lord used it and he blessed it, right? And so we got through that time. God brought Carlton to us. God called Rush to be a part of our staff. So even in the midst of this time like any other, God was actually strengthening our church with some wonderful internal resources and preparing us for what would come next. And what is coming next is we're back in a season now, while we're not debating some of these hard, we're back in a season of happy, exciting growth, where God continues to bring new people to our church. During COVID, there were a lot of people who said, hey, you know what? If I don't actually have to work in Atlanta, I'm not going to live in Atlanta, right? So we had dear members of our church who were like, I can work from home, move into Boise, Idaho to see the grandkids. I can work from home, not fight in Atlanta traffic. I'm moving to Huntsville, right? So we actually lost some people as a result of COVID, not because of drama or trial or conflict, but just because of the impact of what the pandemic did. But then in the wake of that, God has brought new people. And in the process of not just bringing new people, I mean, if you look around, it's like he's doing an exciting work of not just increasing our numbers, but really changing who we are, right? Making us a more international church, a more demographically diverse church, right? So that when I first came here, it was like, hey, we're predominantly an elderly church. Now, people look around and they're like, you know, the elderly people say, where are all these young people coming from? Where are all these kids coming from, right? Well, six. The rhythms of the seasons. So it's very exciting, right? A thriving youth group. When I first came here 10 years ago, we did not have a single undergraduate attending Westminster from Tech or Emory, right? Other than like kids who grew up here, went away to school and came home on breaks, right? So to see now our college ministry, it's just, we're in a very, very exciting time. And we're in a time of numeric growth. And we are now in a time, I think, we're given our commitment to this place. We are in a position to make some multi-generational investments, right? Investments in our facility that will bless us for years to come. I don't know what the next 100 years will hold. I'd like to think that if you chart our growth for the next 100 years, it'll look like this. Of course, that almost never happens, right? You go through hard times, ups and downs, through many dangers, toils, and snares. We have already come, right? But here's the thing. We have an opportunity, a challenge, to fix and repair some things that are kind of multi-generational in the buildup of need. But as we fix them in a more definitive way, we'll be multi-generational in their blessing, right? And so next week, that's what we want to talk about. We want to press into the details of what it is that we are endeavoring to do. I've kind of sketched this out for you before a while back, but to be able to walk through, here are the projects. Here's where we stand. Here are the timelines. Here is the funding. Here's how much we've raised. Here's how much we need, right? So to be able to present all of that to you with real clarity, so that, Lord willing, you can understand it, but also get excited about what the Lord is doing, right? As you kind of go into the sanctuary each Sunday, you're like, this place is a little more of a mess, right? The walls are missing more and more things, right? Peek up into that organ space and go, wow, they've really cleared that out. It's pretty remarkable. So there's a lot of work that's really going to start to hit in the next couple months. I want you to be prepared for that, prayerful about that, excited for it, and then even prayerfully considering how might we give to participate in this work to see it through to the finish line. Okay? So that's what I just want to present to you today. I hope you will be excited by that. And some of the things just also be mindful of is along the way, the Lord has continued to allow us to improve this facility, right? So, like, how many of you have never been downstairs in terms of where we're standing right now? You've never been downstairs. Really? That many people have been downstairs? That's really awesome. I didn't know that. That used to just be a gross, disgusting storage basement. But when you go down there now, we have totally refurbished that space to make this beautiful kind of music suite where the choir. How many of you have been down that hall, right? To that little wing over there, right? It didn't used to be here, right? We were able to add that. And so we have been able to do things over time. How many of you remember the carpet in this fellowship hall that you could pour your coffee onto and go, I think it looks better. Right? Whereas now the Lord has enabled us to make these kind of steady improvements. What we're attempting to do in our sanctuary is biting off a bigger project and series of projects than we have endeavored to do in many years. But I'm excited that we are actually relatively close to the finish line. And so I just want to be able to present all that to you next week. If we have any time, maybe we'll answer some questions, but just know that a significant Q&A coming at the end of the week. So next week, that's the goal. working through all those projects, data, Excel spreadsheets. Don't get too, I'm not very excited about that, but just understanding what are the projects, what are the timetables, what are the finances, where are we at, where do we need to go, all those kinds of things, okay? Stephen Gentry, would you be willing to close us in prayer?
Yeah. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace. We give you praise and glorify your name. We thank you for these seasons of the church that you've brought us through by your providence. We thank you for all the ways you've blessed us to be able to improve the facilities in the last few years, and pray that you'd give us wisdom and financial provision and unity and peace within the body as we embark on this next season of change in the sanctuary. And we pray in all of this that Christ would be exalted. And we thank you that the gospel is so clearly preached from our pulpit. And we pray that it would always be so. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you.